This is a podcast from Patriots.com. For information on this or any other Patriots podcast, visit Patriots.com.
And all this time I thought Googling yourself meant the other thing.
Now, the writers of Patriots Football Weekly and Lori Baranski.
Hi, I'm Lori Baranski, and welcome to the Patriots Ross Report podcast, an official podcast of the New England Patriots. It's another Friday here at Gillette Stadium. It's Leap Day, February 29th. We have Paul Perlow, Tom Casale, and Andy Hart getting the latest on the roster. Anything good going on, guys?
Nothing much. Just the first day of free agency, and it's all hitting the fan league-wide. A lot to go over. It's that time of year where these roster report podcasts are actually pretty exciting. Tom, you want to lead us off? You were very excited about some news that just came across the wire.
Yeah, well, the defensive backfield is now secure as Ray Bubba Ventrone was just tendered. So we know at least, hopefully, he'll be in a minicamp.
Yeah, all the exclusive rights guys, Woods, Alexander, Ventrone, and Britt, got their tenders. They'll be in training camp, and then in Ventrone's case, he'll be sent packing.
Well, you keep saying that, but he's still on the team. Would have made the play of the Super Bowl, would have had a ring.
Would have had a ring. Speaking of guys that could have made a play that would have made a difference in the Super Bowl, Asante Samuel, the biggest fish certainly in the Patriots free agency and in all the NFL probably, reports out of Philadelphia that he is in town and basically ready to be an Eagle. The reports, Tom, are a five-year deal for $47
million. 47.2.
Which is obviously less.
9.5 a year.
Great per year, and based on all reports we're seeing, it's going to be a legit contract where he plays 5 years and gets $47 million, not one of those fluffed-up deals that they peel years off the end. Clearly not the $100 million that was being thrown around, but we knew that if they got $100 million, it wasn't going to be a real contract. But where does that leave the Patriots? I mean, the biggest, an all-pro in that secondary, and it's a secondary that struggled even with the all-pro. So where do we go from here?
I don't know. Ty Law. there's talks, Lito Shepard and D'Angelo Hall might be traded.
Yeah.
Okay. But are you going to get them for much less than what Samuel made? Because you're not getting D'Angelo Hall for any less.
No.
Let's put that out right out there.
He's already said $10 million a year, and this is the final year of his deal. So my guess is any team that trades for him wants to do the deal before they complete the trade. They don't want to trade for him and then lose him.
And reports are that the Eagles had contacted the Cardinals about Larry Fitzgerald. So they think they're putting Shepard up against Larry Fitzgerald. So what do you have to give up to get him?
Right.
I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see where they go.
And it's clear the Eagles are going to be active here. I mean, you're talking about adding a receiver, adding the best defensive back. I mean, they are looking to get back to a Super Bowl. McNabb very adamant that he's going to be there. You know, there were reports that maybe he'd be out of town. So it looks like the Eagles making a push to get back to championship caliber, Paul Perillo.
And I think the key, too, to what you guys are talking about with Hall and Shepard is if you were going to do that, if you're going to sign those guys, obviously you could have just signed Samuel. But even if you got either one of those two guys for a little bit less, you're also having to surrender some compensation. So
right.
In my opinion, if the Patriots wanted to do something in that regard, they just would have focused on Samuel and re-signed him, where you're just dealing with a contract rather than money and compensation, unless they think that Shepard or Hall, or one of those two anyway, is markedly better than Samuel. And I can't imagine that there's much difference in those three players.
Not to mention, you run the risk of just change of team. The guy doesn't fit in on the field, in the locker room. We know Samuel fits in.
You knew
in
what you
here.
Had with Samuel.
D'Angelo
Hall can be a volatile figure in a locker room, no question. So I think, there's a lot of risks when you make a swap there and just think, okay, I'm going to replace one all-pro with another guy who's as talented. I just don't always think it's that easy. But as we move on now, I'm going to go through real quick, run through the list of things that have happened this week. Roosevelt Colvin and Oscar Lua were let go. Colvin, obviously coming off his second IR stint with the Patriots, due to have a cap figure of $7.5 or $6 million, $5.5 in salary. So combination of injuries with he never was the elite player they signed him to be with $7 million cap figure. He's on the open market, and it looks like he's probably done being a Patriot. Oscar Lua.
And he'll be a Jet.
Failed a physical. Yeah, could be.
I think he's going to be a Colt.
Ooh,
okay.
That'd be interesting.
Makes for a great story as his days as a vendor in RCA Dome. Although it won't be in the RCA Dome, so the story's not so great. Teddy Bruschi has reportedly agreed to a multi-year deal to come back. He's not going to retire. He's going to continue to play. Team's leading tackler from a year ago. Tom, very excited about the move.
I guess. I don't know what the multi-year stuff is, because I don't know if we can get another year out of him. But if you do, that's it. I just you say he's the leading tackler. I saw Eric Alexander be the leading tackler in an AFC championship game. We've never seen him again. So the leading tackler thing to me is a little, it's where are the tackles being made. Now, I think both him and Seau have the same thing. They can show flashes for a game or so, like a game here or a game there, or the player of the player that they once were. But together, combined, those two I don't think play well enough for us over the course of the season. It's funny because, you know, they were undefeated, and you're trying to say that. But I just think now they're all a year older, and we were having some question marks about the pass defense last year. So I just think you have to get younger at that position through the draft or through free agency.
Bottom line is they needed numbers, though. At least that he's a body who's got experience.
No, I'm not opposed.
They were down to Adalys Thomas, Mike Vrabel, and what the hell are we going
to
do?
Yeah, I'm not opposed to bringing him back. Obviously, you know, Tom's right. He's not going to be here beyond a year, in my opinion, unless something really out of the, you know, out of the realm of possibility now happens, and that he just has this sudden resurgence in his career. But you needed him. You know, you probably needed to have one of those veterans back. And you know, Bruschi's been around for a long time. Maybe there's some, maybe they gave him a little extra up front, and that's why the multi-year deal, so you could spread it out a little bit. I don't think it would be a sizable bonus, but whatever it is, you have the ability to spread it a little bit. And I don't think he'll be here beyond this year, but I agree with Tom. I think the time to get younger is here, and I hope that there's at least one, you know, reasonably young free agent and a draft pick as well at that position.
If you look at the defense, not only do you lose Samuel, but now Harrison, Bruschi, Seau, Vrabel. I mean, those guys are all another year older, so how long can you keep rolling the dice?
Yeah. The one thing they do have going for them at linebacker is the Thomas Vrabel versatility. Mm-hmm. Both can play inside and out. And I'd say the ideal situation is you get a linebacker, an inside linebacker, whether it's a young free agent or in the draft, and Teddy Bruschi serves as a mentor for a year, although we've seen in the past he might not be the best mentor on the team.
That's worked both ways
but,
in the past.
You know, I think that would be the ideal situation as you try to break in a young linebacker. Bruschi is the tutor. Other reports, Lonnie Paxton has reportedly inked a one-year deal. His agent was happy that the team allowed him to experience free agency for apparently, I don't know, 8 or 10 hours
minutes
this morning. But he's back on a one-year deal. He said he basically wants to end his career as a Patriot. They talked about other things, but one-year deal was the best.
Why would he ever want to go anywhere? You're a long snapper. You're on one of the best organizations in football. It's not like they give you pretty good money.
Right.
Why would you ever want to leave?
Well, you never know. In 4 years, maybe this team stinks and he wants to go to the West Coast, be on the Chargers, whatever. But Larry Izzo, reportedly one-year deal. I mean, reportedly back. And Kelly Washington, reportedly back. So they've spent some time re-signing the guys that were going to be free agents or possibly retire. And then some of the guys that are supposedly visiting elsewhere, Dante Stallworth visiting in Cleveland with the Browns, and Randall Gay visiting in New Orleans, and reportedly has also talked to the Bucks, Lions, Seahawks, and Cardinal Falcons. And Mike Wright was given the second round tender of $1.41 million as a restricted free agent.
Whew. We have not mentioned, however, Randy Moss.
Randy Moss, we have not, because there's not much to mention.
Yeah, I mean,
looks like he's coming back, but
yeah, you weren't with us last week, Andy, when the franchise deadline kind of came and went. Tom and I were a little surprised that they didn't exercise that option. I'm even more so now, because the one thing in the back of our minds was that he's going to immediately sign. As soon as free agency hits and that deadline is here, you're going to read about, you know, the Patriots have agreed in principle with a deal, blah blah blah. Well, here we are. You know, maybe they have well on their way to that. But, you know, we're a day in now. He's still out there. And I have that fear, and I know that you guys do too from talking off the air, that a team like the Colts or whoever just comes in and knocks him over with a barrel of money.
Yep.
And I know we have to wrap this up, but just real quick, what do you guys think, though, of teams kind of taking Moss out of the game late in the year and now giving him all this money? He's going to be a year older. Is there some worries about that where you kind of saw physical teams just – beating him up, like as the being a little older now, and we heard things about his legs and stuff.
Yep.
Maybe he wore down a little bit and teams got physical with him. Are you concerned about that at all?
Well, there's no question next year is going to be a letdown, because there's way he could achieve the things he achieved this year. But yeah, I mean, if he could come back to reality and suddenly not be able to get open, not be able to beat double teams, not be able to get off the line, and you're on the hook, I got to think it's at least a 3-year deal you're signing to get him back. So yeah, there's probably some fears there, but I think we all think in the end he probably comes back. They probably get the deal done.
Yeah.
Maybe they have to pay a little bit more than they expected to as things shake out. And the one thing I want to close with is there's a lot of talk I've seen. One of our columnists wrote about it, Paul, for this paper, that there's an expectation, despite the money that's out there, and there is a lot of money out there, that this is going to be a rapid free agent process, that in the past there's been big early splash, then a couple weeks later sort of what they call the second wave. I saw some speculation from the guy from the Eagles, I think it was actually.
Joe Banner.
Expecting that the first wave, you know, today, tomorrow, then 2 or 3 days later is the second wave. And a week into this, by our next podcast next Friday, the bulk of free agency could sort of be over. And then it's just not a great crop of players available.
Nope. There's a lot of money. And I think that a lot of teams are well under the cap and have the ability, but I just don't think that a lot of these names are going to blow people away.
That's why guys like Randall Gay are going to test it, because he says, I'm the second or third best corner on the market.
And I don't think he's wrong.
Yeah,
and
all these guys that are
Tommy
players.
Kelly.
And they're going to get money.
They're making huge, huge money.
Yep. So that's going to put the wraps on it. Randy Moss, still a question mark. Asante Samuel, looks like he's flying into town with the Eagles in Philly. And a lot of
Randy
other
Moss,
minor moves.
On the Patriots the next time we talk on Tuesday for PFW Progress.
Yes,
I agree.
All right, that's going to do it. Another exciting roster report here in the midst of free agency. Back to Lori.
All right, thanks, guys. Join us again next time for a brand new Roster Report podcast. Thanks for listening, and go Pat!
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com. Just like yeah.